Oh, was it at the resort? Oh, yeah, I thought he told you about the airport.
I'm still in panic zone over my
Yeah, she's still worried about the makeup not being there.
Not there. And so I asked T, is there like a store we could go to? You know, no shampoo, no toothpaste, all that
no
stuff
deodorant.
Has to be packed away. You know, you can't carry it on anymore. So he does. He takes us to a store, and we get those few things. And he bought me a shirt. And oh, we didn't have any cash change, so he has to pay for everything. That's another very uncomfortable thing. And so he buys me a shirt. It's a size too big, but it's clean, so I'm going to be okay, right? So I get that stuff, and we're going. We have to travel from Chiang Rai
about an hour
to
and a half.
Yeah, an hour and a half, and we get there about 7 in the evening,
yeah,
something like that. We sit down at this table, they bring us tea, and then he starts talking. And he tells Rick some things about the conference and whatnot, you know, how it's going to work. And he says, and Mary, yeah, they call me Mary, they don't say Marie very well. So he says, and Sister Mary, you'll be teaching for an hour and a half tomorrow after lunch. What? I don't teach, Aja. And he says, yes, sister, they need to hear from you. The women will be there, they need to hear from you. And I look at Rick with this, oh my gosh. I asked Rick, I asked him if I had to teach, and he says, no. And I said, no, sister, you have to be teaching. So there was no, and T is like, he puts you in the corner, and that's where you will stay. So there was no getting out of it, you know. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do, you know? I mean, I have just till the next day nothing prepared, and I'm angry with
this is after being awake 30 hours, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, I go back to the room after it's done, and I know that, you know, this is obviously – let me back up just a little bit. Thursday before I left, at Christmas time, I wasn't planning to go to Thailand at all. And at Christmas time, I received a gift, which was a ticket, a round trip ticket to go with Rick, and I got real excited about it. Well, about a week before, I started getting unexcited because I was like, what is God doing here? You know, I knew I had to start praying that He'd prepare my heart for what He was going to do. And so I started getting a little bit worried that he might be doing something serious, like, you know, moving us like he did to Belize, and I was, like, starting to panic. And so Thursday night, I shared this. Thursday night before we leave, I share it with the ladies, you know, and I'm, you know, of course, I'm a lot more emotional then, too. And anyways, they anointed me with oil and prayed over me and promised that, you know, they would continue to lift me up while I was gone, and you know, God is good, and just encouraged me and whatnot. So I left with, you know, a peace in my heart and continued to pray. Well, so because of that is how I got through the week when I showed up there. And God gave me a verse when I went back to the room because I was in that panic state. And
you want me just to sit down?
You're the one that made me come up here.
She said the office, I don't know what to share. I don't have anything to say.
Still, I'm not comfortable with all this.
I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to relax.
Anyways.
It's okay, honey. It's okay.
Let me just stop now. Okay. It was Psalms, in Psalms 5, and it says, let all those who put your trust in me, rejoice, for the Lord will bless the righteous. With favor, He will surround you with the shield. So I knew that He was going to protect and He was going to do what He needed to do. Now, I know the message was not great, but that wasn't the point. The point was that I chose to do His will instead of my own. And that's what I learned most through this trip. Regardless of the circumstances that you're in, what He desires of us is to choose His will, not our own. So that was the reason why He sent me to Thailand, besides to be with my husband, who I got to spend 3 wonderful weeks with,
awesome,
uninterrupted in the sense of my children and my grandchildren, you know, that surround us, that I love dearly and want all the time. But it gave Rick and I, for the first time in many, many years, just some one-on-one, and thank you. Thank you very much.
So this, now this, as you've heard, all this stuff comes upon her. And remember now, it's not bad enough that she has to do this thing that she's unprepared for, but she has to do it without makeup. So this is where the panic begins to set in, see? But it was just amazing to watch God at work, and I felt like a total bonehead because I really did not expect this. I thought she might maybe spend some time with the ladies, you know, a little bit here and there. I suspected that, but I didn't expect her to have to stand up in front of people. Now, remember that these guys had communicated to me that on the couple of months before I went down there that, you know, last year, having about 23 folks, they were expecting about 40. Well, when we got there, 40 turned into 50, 50 turned into 60, and by the time they all finished coming, the last four guys that had come all the way from the China border and had walked the whole distance, they got there in the late sessions of the first day. It had taken them that long to get to the conference. By the time it finished, we had, I believe it was 68 was the total count. Completely unprepared for that, we thought it was going to be a small group. So not only did she have to do all of this for just the ladies, of which there turned out to be a good 20, I guess, and but now she has to do it. Aja wants her to do it in front of the whole clan, and so. But you know what? It was amazing to watch. Now this experience from last year, of course, you know, for me, I made some really good relationships, but it was amazing to watch these ladies with Marie. Now, you have to try to picture this, and if you stay and see the video later, you'll see what I mean. Everybody there is completely dark-headed, so she really stands out with her hair, and she's one of the taller ladies. It's kind of amazing, but the ladies just gravitated towards her. It was really, really amazing to see. And one of the things they do there, well, men and women, it's just part of their culture, and we saw this also in Nepal, was that they, as they walk next to one another, they'll hold hands or they'll put their arms around one another. And so for us, of course, it's a bit, you know, it's, you know, you understand that that's part of the culture, but it's still a bit, you know, kind of out there. But it was really funny one day, one of the girls from last year, Mita, who is, she actually oversees the school in Burma, and we'll get to that here in just a second, that we're actually, the funds from the church that we raised up, and thank God for you guys and for what you did, because we were able to give her this money to this incredible school, and Marie and I were able to go there, and they fixed lunch for us. That was quite the experience. But this is actually in Burma. This was when we crossed over into Burma, into Tashilek, the first city there, and this is where the school is. But this Mita, it was really neat. We're walking along, and she was just a sweetheart and got a good relationship with her from last year. And so this year, as we're walking, we had to walk from where we did the conference. We walked down this small street, kind of down this hill, and there was a small church down there that made the meals for all of us every day, at least lunch and dinner, I should say. So as we were walking down there, I'm walking, talking to the guys and stuff, and I look over, and Mita's walking next to Marie, and she's got Marie's hand, and they're walking, swinging along, and I'm just, oh, this is awesome. So I'm clicking pictures of this. It was just really neat. But the point is that out of all of that fear, you know, they just latched on to her. And there was one in particular, and you'll see her in the video, because she just, every time she was next to me, she just wouldn't let her go. It was really, really amazing to see what God had done. So that's the first week with the Akka. We were able to, as I said, deliver the funds that you folks raised through the Christmas tree and through other elements. We were able to go and see the two children's homes. Now, understand that these are not a typical orphanage, as we would think an orphanage. The reason that these homes are significant is because the Akka, in particular, that live in that area of Burma, because of the situation the whole cultural aspect of it, when the girls are 14 years old, the parents are either trying to marry them off or to give them away because they're an extra mouth to feed. And obviously, they keep doing this, and it creates a problem, and so most of the people there don't want it. So there are others that would come in and take advantage of this, and we saw this, and I saw it last year. And what'll happen is somebody comes in, and the father, they'll give the father a TV or whatever, and the father gives the daughter, and then the daughter becomes part of the slave market, human slave market. And it's a huge, huge problem. I'm not saying it's only in Thailand. I realize it's elsewhere. But in Thailand, it's huge. So these girls, from say 12 to 15, some of them, and there's some younger ones, but that's the girls that are in this home, that we're able to help to keep from going that. And by doing that, we're providing this place for them to stay, and to give them an education so that it keeps them off of these streets to where they will enter the slave market. And so I can't stress to you enough how vital this is. And that's Mitaz over there in Burma. Now there's one, the same thing actually in the city and on the map in the over there on the side. You can see it's the one that's the square, Mesai. That's where everything happens when we go. And there's also one in there, and that's the one that's ran by Miss Harme, who's the Kachin. Now she's not Aka, she's Kachin. She's the one that made me the basket. Remember the bag, I should say, with the real pretty silver things all over it. That's her from last year. She runs another home down there that's the same kind of thing. But she also, to supplement the income for the children, she also watches, does like a daycare, I guess, for about four of the kids there. But we were able to, again, bless them with some of these funds to allow them to continue this school. And you have to understand that this is under some really, really tough circumstances, you know, with the poverty. And right before we got there, the place, they had moved her from where she was last year. And when she was in that place, they didn't have water, even though it's in the middle of the city. And so T and the guys with some of the finances that we sent down, I didn't even realize they had done this, had went and bought water pipe and had run water into this school. And we watched them, they squat and wash all of the dishes and the clothes and everything all together in this one thing there. But that's how they do things there. So we were able to just see God do amazing things. The conference itself was very encouraging. It was a lot of fun. When we started it off, Aja had, they had translated my the stuff that I had sent down to Teef to do the conference. And at the bottom of it, there was a saying. Of course, it was in Naka. I didn't know how to read it, but it was along the bottom. And so Aja points out to me, and he says, "Oh, look at this. This is a Naka proverb." And I said, "Well, what is this proverb?" And he says, "The finger for testing the warmth of the water, a stick for testing the depth." And he looks at me and he smiles, and I go, "I have no idea what that means." He was telling what he was saying to me, as T translates for him, because it was difficult for him to communicate. Basically, what it amounts to is that you have to know the people you're speaking to, and if you see that they're not responding, then you do something else. Now, how they got a finger and a stick out of that, I don't know. But anyway, but that's the thing. And so. So he said, "Well, so what we'll do is the people look like they're kind of getting daisy, you know, lazy and stuff like this." Actually, I'm thinking about trying that here in our church. there's a lot of times you guys are doing neck PT during my sermons. Anyway, but what he said is then we'll get the people up and we'll teach them a song. And he's, this guy's really, really animated. And so we went through this thing, and it was just a blast because he would recognize the stuff as I'm teaching, and he's translating, and it was just amazing what God did there. And as he's translating this stuff, and then all of a sudden he would see the people, right? And he'd put the proverbs, and he'd get them up out of the chairs, and he'd start teaching them a song. And he's just really, you know, he's dancing, he's doing the steps and all this stuff. And I don't know about, I think it was the second day, actually. He was really getting into this and teaching them these Akka songs. And T's trying to help us to read the songs off the thing, but it's like impossible to do it. It's very strange language.
He was teaching them the original Akka dance.
Yeah, and the dance. So he decides he's going to add this. They're singing this one song that was the Akka Brotherhood is what I got out of it, right? Something. Because remember, they're starting to lose their culture. This is one of the problems because they're in Burma, they're in China, they're in Thailand, and they're beginning to sort of gain all that, and they're trying to keep that from happening. Anyway, so as Aja is doing all of this stuff, he starts teaching him these dance steps for this Hakka dance. So he's dancing around.
He's not quite how
it went. It looked just like that. No, but he's doing all of this dancing stuff, and Marie and I are sitting out the top, and he starts doing these step things and kind of going like this, and all the people, they're just laughing, having a good old time, and all of a sudden. Remember, he's like this tall, and he's just dancing around, and all of a sudden he goes. He pulled his derriere. I thought we were going to fall out of the chair. Anyway, and so then he doesn't want anybody to see it, so he's like, he's stepping. I wanted to give him my pin to bite on, let him so he could continue his dance. But anyway, it's just awesome. To see this stuff, to see God at work, and to enjoy the fellowship, and to laugh with these people that most of them will never even see them again in this life. And yet to watch God do the things that he does is just an incredible blessing. And we were able to share. And again, I had been able to show the video, what we did at the end of the conference, we got everybody together. Some of them had left already, but we took them out to the front of this place that we were at, and they had this huge sign out there that said, "They call me Reverend Rick. I cannot get them to not call me Reverend Rick. Do I look reverend to you?" Hello. Anyway, but they had this sign that was like 20 feet long. The thing was huge. And right on the thing it says, "Christ-like leadership." You know, and it gives the dates of the conference, and it's in English, which was the interesting thing. And at the bottom of it, it says, "Reverend Rick Jackson." So I was like, oh, brother. And they had this one outside, and then they had one actually in the conference hall where we met. You'll actually see that one. But we wanted to get everybody together our last day before they all went back to their homes. And remember, for them to go home was just like coming. It's an amazing journey for them. You know, we flew on an air-conditioned airplane where we got three meals a day and the whole thing, and they traipsed through the jungle for days and days to get there. Now they got to turn around and traipse through jungles for days and days to get back home. But we brought them all together, and we put them under where the sign, they had actually just taken the sign down right before we got there. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, but we got them all together anyway at the entrance of this place, and they're all sitting there, and we got them to say, "Hello, Kavre Chapa." And they're all waving. So that's what I wanted to show this morning, but we couldn't get the thing to work. But anyways, so that's believe it or not, that's just the first week. Now, that's, remember, up in the northern part of the country. Remember, we're in Thailand, but we're not working with the Thai.
Get a chair?
Oh, that was good, Reen. She's learning. Second week, we're down now into Chiang Mai, and this is where now meetings are happening and some planning and organization stuff. We met with the missionaries because that's where most of them are based out of. And it was through here that we actually were able to take a couple days just for ourselves. And we went and rode elephants. And we went to watch an elephant show. And again, there's some of that. We won't show a lot of that. But, you know, doing handstands and doing dances. And one of them's doing a painting. And Emery just thought the painting was amazing. This one elephant actually paints a picture of a tree. She swears it's a flower. I think it's a tree. You can judge for yourself when you watch the film. But anyway, then we got to go for a ride on these things. And I don't know if you've ever been around them or not, but these things are huge. And so as we walk up there and we get on this thing, and we took this like a 45-minute walk, and as big as these creatures are, they would walk downhill, and it is amazing how sure-footed they are. And so we got to ride and go through the river and cross, and we went up this hill, and we went around, and we came back. And we got off those, and we went up a little bit around. This was all part of this little tour thing that we did. And then we got on these bamboo rafts, I guess, for lack of a better term, with the dude with the stick on the back. We got those really cool little Chinese hats. I wanted to get one to bring one home, but I couldn't fit it much. And I put it on, and of course they have a little string that goes under your chin, right? Well, my string is goes here. So you got a picture of me with a stupid hat on, with this string under my nose. It was really cool. But then, so we float down river and stuff, and our raft is like this because I'm on the back. And so we get down to the end, and we get off, and they put us on these ox carts. This was really cool. It was rough, man. Beat the crud out of you, but it was really cool. Got in these ox carts with these two big ox, and then they walked us back, all the way back where we started with these elephants. And then we got to go do the monkey thing after that. You want to tell them about the monkey part?
We got to play the monkey.
Yeah, they asked me to play a monkey. Can you believe that? Why would they do that? They had these monkeys all lined up at this thing, and they had these numbers, and the monkey would actually, they'd say number three, and the monkey would pick number three. Then they turn them upside down and mixed them up, told the monkey to pick the number, and he picked it. So I'm thinking, oh, surely this thing's marked in the back. And so as I'm trying to figure out this thing, the Thai guy, the leader guy, he comes over and he grabs me out of 25 people or whatever, and he brings me down on the front, and the person says, "Now it's your turn.
First, you have to."
Oh, sadikap, yeah, sadikap. That's how they say hi. For men, it's sadikap. For women, it's sadika. That's anyway. So I had to go sadika to the crowd. Sadikap, I'm sorry. And then I had to pick a number, that like the monkey did, right? See if I was as smart as the monkey. So here I am. I'm up there, and I'm just like, oh. And I'm thinking, surely these things are marked on the back. There's got to be a mark to say. And then they asked me to pick. The monkey picked four. I was supposed to pick number three. And so I'm walking along, and there was nothing. There was no marks, at least that I could see. And so I just went, ah, well. So I just bent over and I picked this number up. Guess what number it was? It was the number 3. So I got a big fan, you know, ovation out of the fans. And the monkey just thought I was the king of the hill and kind of thing. And then, And then I feel the trainer guy pulling on my shirt. I turn around and he hands me a banana. I had gotten my reward. So I go to sit down, and I'm sitting in the front row, and so you know I'm getting ready to eat the monkey, and all of a sudden the monkey's standing there looking at me. So I go, all right. So I gave him my banana. Anyway. So Thailand was amazing. We were able to meet some great folks down there that are doing some other ministry, and we yet to see what God is going to do with that. But we're very excited about all of this, and it's really amazing to see and to think about what God has in the future for us. Because I would really like to. I'm going to have to go for the next couple of years just to get this thing rolling. These churches are in big trouble, and we're going to take some time. I was going to get into the scripture today, but Maurice talks so long that I'm not going to be able to do that. So the Thailand thing, but we're going to have to take some. But folks, I don't want to go by myself anymore. So we're going to need people to go, because with the way Marie and I talked and felt like God wanted us to do next year is, rather than having all like general sessions with these people, we want to break them. We're going to have a general session and then break them down into men and women. And there's people that work in those churches that do children's ministries, and their perception is, well, children's ministry isn't important. Role. That all of these are the only thing that's important in the church for them, and of course their conception of church is a building. It is not a body of Christ, which I hope we understand. And that the pastor is no better or no different than anyone else. He just has a role that God has asked him to play. It doesn't make him more than anybody else or anything else. And they don't get that. So that's something that we now have to try to get them to understand. And so to do that, we're going to need other people, because we want to break them into groups, have workshops, so to speak, and do some specific training. And so it's going to take more folks to go. So start praying, thinking about going down there, going over there next year with us, because it's a huge ministry that God has opened our door. And the Akha people are absolutely wonderful people. I wish so much to just be able to get them here so you could see and you'd understand instantly what we're talking about, to be able to share with these folks. So that was our 2 weeks in Thailand. This is really abbreviated, but then we left and flew from Bangkok. We went back from Chiang Mai, is where we were at. We flew into Bangkok, and then from Bangkok over to Kathmandu. Now, I had been in Kathmandu before, so I knew what to expect. My wife, however, did not. Kathmandu is like you just entered a different world. I mean, it is completely different than any place we are. Thailand is pretty organized, pretty clean for the most part, but Kathmandu is just the opposite. And you're just struck immediately in the face, fully. I should let you tell this part, about how different it is, and the smells, and the filth, and the poverty, and the suffering, and everything that you see there. And it's just staggering. It is absolutely mind-boggling. And I was reminded again that getting into the cab, there was, because we had bags, this time we got our bags back. So Marie and I were in one cab, and then Michael and a kid I brought down there, I'm trying to get him to go into the field, and he's thinking about Nepal, so we had to meet us there. So he's actually still there. Let's see if we can get somebody down there to help Michael and Pasang. But anyway, so we're riding through the streets of Kathmandu, and it's just insanity. Just thousands of people on these little motorcycles and, you know, big water buffalo walking around. Remember, and we were driving one time around with Michael and Pasang and Tim, who's the guy that we got down there right now. And, you know, it's so scary. And there's this huge water buffalo just kind of meander down the street. And remember, these streets are 12 feet wide at best. So, and they get two taxi cabs and a motorcycle alongside in there. It's just insanity. And then there's a water buffalo all of a sudden standing in the middle of the road. And so we come around this corner, here's this buffalo, and Marie goes, "Holy cow." I kid you not, that's a true statement. And Michael goes, "You know, that's a true statement." Because in this country, these are holy cows. So, and then she kind of squealed there one time, because we were driving along. We should tell... Because I wasn't looking when this guy came. I just happened to look up.
You were in the front seat.
Well, I know, but I have to ride like this, remember?
Well, needless to say, a motorcycle came 2 inches from the windshield.
Yeah, I thought we were going to wear this guy's a hood ornament. I mean, right at there. And, of course, you guys know that we were able to bless Michael and Pasang with a little scooter.
I don't think it was a good idea.
I'm not sure we should have done that. Michael's been hit by a bus. And he wrecked it on the second day we were there again. And so I'm thinking, this is probably not a good idea. We probably should have got him a car. But anyway, it was funny because they had two helmets. And he was driving Tim, this young kid, around. Driving around town, and Michael's got his helmet on. Tim's riding on the back of this thing, you know. The good thing about it is it's so crowded, you can't never really get going with any speed. You know, it's not any highways, understand. But still, it's frightening, and the way these guys weave these things in and out. And so we got back, and poor Tim was just like a nervous wreck and stuff. And I saw Michael with only one helmet, and I thought, man, you know, I said, maybe we should get you another helmet, you know. So he goes, oh, I've got another helmet. And Tim goes, well, then how come you didn't offer it? He said, man, I would have worn that thing in a heartbeat. But anyway, so we were, it was great to see Michael and Pasang, Marie, and I'll let her turn this over to her in just a sec. We met a church that Michael works in. He's working with the Tibetans now. Remember, the Tibetan refugees, but they're up in the Himalayas. So he's actually in Kathmandu, and though he's working with the Tibetan refugees, he goes to a Nepali church, okay? It gets kind of confusing, because there's a bunch of different people groups there, just like there is in Thailand. And so he's working amongst us in this Nepali church, and the minute we got off the airport, Michael goes, we're walking out carrying our bags to the car, and Michael says, I just want you to know so you have enough ahead of time. He said, Rick, you're teaching at church tomorrow morning, Saturday, because they hold church on Saturdays, and then you're going to do our elders. You're going to do some training for our elders on the next day. Again, he had never said nothing to me about this. I thought we were just going to go hang out. And then he said, Marie, you're going to teach the ladies study at our house with Pasang. So here we go again. So, but it worked out really well, and we went to this church, and man, I'm here to tell you what an awesome blessing that was to listen to these. Now, for there, when they greet you, it's the same thing, of course, in that side of part of the world, they all put their hands together, and they say, Jamise.
Jamise.
Jamise, okay, show off. And it means basically praise the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So we were doing this, and then I got up and was able to share at this church, and man, there must have been, I don't know how many people at this church, but it was really weird because as I'm teaching, all of the women sat on this side and all the men sat on that side. And you know what was really unique about this? The men outnumbered the women. Yeah. Let me tell you, I've been all over the world. That is rare. Yeah. There was a good 15 or 20 more men than there was women, and that was really encouraging. But again, after the next day we met, we went to the pastor's house. I went to do an elders training. Marie met with the ladies, and she shared that about you. And I shared with these guys, and the same thing. Here's this church, and it's doing these incredible things, but they do not have any concept of what the church is. Their questions were, well, how does this work? What are we supposed to do? How does, you know, and I am stunned at the lack of understanding of what the church is, that it's function as the body of Christ. Because in every place we've been, Belize now, and of course over there in Asia, the same concept keeps coming up, that the pastor is some sort of a ruler. And it just drives me crazy. But again, it shouldn't drive me crazy because the same thing happens here in the U.S., doesn't it? I mean, even churches in the U.S. think that. They think the pastor is in this some kind of role that he was never intended to be in. But anyway, but you just start seeing this across the board. And it comes back to what and why I feel like here in this church, we must understand the Word of God. We must study it verse by verse and chapter by chapter so that we do not have this same problem. And when you get in there, you cannot help but coming to terms with what God desires for all things in life, but in particular what He wants the church to be. And so we're trying to convince these guys, this Nepali pastor, to start to learn to teach expositorially, that verse by verse teaching, because then you teach the whole counsel of God. If you don't, do a topical thing. He was telling us that he has 200, or so, what did he say? There's 52 weeks, that's what it is. There's 52 weeks in the year. He has 52 sermons.
35.
Oh, 35 sermons, because he figures he's going to miss so many a year. Now, this is serious. And so he figures that if he has 35 sermons, he can teach them, and then the next year he can reteach them again and just change them a little bit, figuring he's going to miss. And so here we are, and we're saying, wait a second. What do you mean you have 35? I mean, well, where's the leading of the Spirit? Where's the teaching of God's Word in this? So we're trying to get these people to understand, because this is why the churches struggle there. So it was a blessed time for us. The trip home was relatively uneventful. The only rough time we had was when we arrived in Bangkok. We kind of got taken a little bit there at the first this new airport, and I won't bore you with that story. But that was the only place where Marie kind of had. I said, "Evil Marie has gotten off the airplane with me, hasn't she?" Because she was like, "These people, I like the rah 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 and stuff." I was like, "Holy cow!"
Yeah, I don't like being taken advantage of, and I kind of got my gander up a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyways, let me tell just a little bit on Pasong. You guys have all been praying for her. You know, she's been ill and whatnot, and she's doing okay, but her body physically is not that healthy. So continue to pray for that. They don't know why she gets pains and whatnot. You know, they can't figure it out. We encouraged Michael that within the year that she should be taken to Bangkok and really be given a complete physical and see what's going on, because obviously Nepal does not have what she needs. Yeah. And even here, when she came back, they couldn't find anything either, and there is definitely something going on, so pray for her. She also just started a women's Bible study in her home, and it's not from the women that go to church with her. It is a women that she goes to school with. She invited, I think, about three ladies from school, and then Chimmy. You guys remember Chimmy, who just accepted the Lord last year? And Chimmy goes. So, and she's real timid about it. She doesn't want to be the leader. She doesn't want to be the teacher. I can relate. But it's obvious that the Lord has called her for that. She's really pretty natural at it. But she needs prayer, and she needs some study tools and stuff so that she can feel adequate and whatnot. So just be praying for them. I was blessed to be able to share with them. Actually, since I was sharing with them in this new book that we're going to be doing, is called Be Transformed.
Oh, perfect little transition.
Plug. Yes. Yeah. And we're going to start doing this. I ordered books, so those of you who want to be a part of it need to tell me about it, because I have 12 on order, and I need to know if I need to order any more. But anyways, it talks about taking our thoughts captive and how our thoughts, how does that go again? Well, anyways, that's what I got to share with them is on this. And so I'm just going to put it out to you guys. This is transforming, being transformed, and it's renewing our minds so that we think more like Christ, not like the world and like the television shows us and whatnot. So if you want to conform to his image, I suggest you come to the study. It's going to be a year-long commitment because it's long, and we'll break it up and not go too fast so that we grasp it. So anyways, see me after church if you want to be a part of that, and I can write your name down for a book, and continue praying for Pasong, because she's going to do something like this there, and it's just, that's it. That's all.
Amen. Well, to just close this out, to just let you know that, yeah, I suppose.
Did you get sick?
Nope.
You lost weight.
You know, so there's some people keep saying that. That's really nice of you folks. Frankly, I think you're lying. No, just kidding. No, I appreciate that. I do. You know what? I don't know. To tell you the truth, we ate really well. The first week, Akka food is different. It's basically flavored water with a bunch of vegetables floating in it. And then there's other things that you don't dare ask what it is. You just eat it. And it's funny because everything is placed in the middle there, and everybody has these big silver spoons and, of course, the chopsticks and stuff, you know. And everybody's, you know, dipping in the soup and, you know. So double dipping is out. You're triple and quadruple and five-pole and six-pole dipping, whatever. And stuff, and so we were just getting into the habit of this, and there's stuff in there that I don't know. And like Marie said, we learned when they were there, these people eat anything. I mean, everything that grows, they eat it. We're walking down the street, they pull off a leaf. Here, try this. I'm not joking. Oh, there's this weed over there, and they pull it up out of the ground. Here, try this. You'll love this. And I'm just like, yeah, but there was dogs around that right before we got here. I'd like to wash it off at least. But anyway, So that food was really, I mean, it's good. It's got a good flavor, but there's just not a lot to it. I mean, like Marie said, for the first, that first week, everything was rice, and which I love rice. We had for breakfast, we had pork rice soup, which is really good. And that's what we had for breakfast. And then we had all of this other stuff for lunch and dinner. But some of the stuff, you don't know what it is. You just chew it and swallow it and don't even worry about it because there's no point. And, we had one of, where was that we had the blood? I didn't eat it. Couldn't do it. They had blood that, like, was cooked in, like, patties. And I'm like, no thanks. I don't think so. But anyway, so that was the akha. Now we shift down to Chiang Mai. Now we're eating Thai food, right? Thai food is very, for those of you that know, is very rich in ginger. We use a lot of ginger, coconut milk, and curries, a lot of different curries. And so again, we ate good. I mean, it was really good food. One of the things we did after the day after we did the elephant thing, Marie and I, we signed up and we took a Thai cooking class. So I learned to cook some different Thai foods and stuff, and it was a lot of fun. And then we went to a market for the part of our class to learn some of the stuff that they have that we were cooking with that we had no idea what it was. And we actually brought some of it back so we could make these meals. And while we were there, we went to this little stand to get this coffee. And I am not joking now. I'm telling you, the Lord is my witness. We went and we decided, I was going to get a Coke, but then this guy was there, and I said, man, he's got coffee there, and this other guy said, it's really good, it's iced coffee, and so I said, okay. So I watched this person, and they take literally a baggie, like a sandwich bag, fill it with ice, little cubed ice, and then she turns around, and she grabs these two pots, but one of them, it's silver, it's about this tall, and it's got this screen down the middle of it, and apparently this is how they cook the coffee, right? I'm not joking. She's holding my bag. She takes this coffee and she starts to pour it. She pours it into my bag with the ice, and it goes gloop, gloop, gloop. I'm like going, oh my goodness, what did I just order? This stuff looked like after you change your oil and it's set in that pan. It's exactly what it looked like. And I watched her pour this stuff in. She's just like smiling. Oh, look at here what I've got for you. So I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. I mean, this is like, you know, an espresso times 10, you know. And so I'm just like, I don't know, man. But this other guy bought one and he's sucking away on it. He's going, hey, this is pretty good, man. So I took it. It was actually really good, but I wouldn't recommend making coffee like that. But the taste, the flavors there are just amazing. I mean, they really are. And some of the stuff, it is hot, hot, hot. Man, I took a bite of this tom yum soup, which I also made, I learned to make it not as hot. But I bought some in a restaurant and took a bite of that. I thought my lips were going to melt to my teeth. Man, my ears started to burn. My stinking nose started to run. I started to sweat. Couldn't breathe. It was like, whoa. And they were like, oh, that's not hot, Reverend Rick. Oh, that's not hot. I'm like, well, then what do you call hot, man? Anyway, great trip. We were so blessed. And I feel like I'm kind of rattling here. But thank you guys so much for allowing us. Aja and T both, and again, in the video, you'll see this, but they told me to be sure and to share with Karo Chapao how grateful they are for what we have done. That and Aja says, you know, I never had any idea that God was going to bring someone like Calvary Chapel into our lives. And he said, you guys have blessed us. And make sure that you understand that money that goes down there, these guys use only for gas and stuff like that. It is going to these children's homes, and it is being used for them to go into the Golden Triangle, to Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, China, Burma. In fact, that's where they want me to go next time. They want me to go up the Mekong River. But I don't know, man. That's pretty dangerous ground over there. So anyway, but to take the gospel. And so they told me to please tell you guys, thank you for what they were able to do. One last story. I was frustrated, I'll be honest with you, when it first happened, because I was really focusing on leadership. And then when all these people kept coming, it was obvious that not all of them were leaders. And so it was like, man, so I was like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. But there was one lady that stood up. A little old lady, she's about this tall. She's dressed in robes. She had walked for days to get to this thing. And she stands up and she begins to, I should ask you, because you paid more attention to what she was saying. I was talking to T at the time. But anyway, basically what she said was that she started to weep. And she said, she thanked us. And she said, and your church, because she said, I have never been to anything like this. You should tell this. I can't remember. Well, anyway, she was just, but basically what she said is, I've never eaten like this. She'd never come out of Burma before. In other words, she's never stayed in a room like they got to stay. Now, understand, the rooms that we paid for these folks to stay in are rooms where they'll put 25 and 30 people in. Okay? So they're not your typical double hotel suite. And she just wept, and she was so grateful for this opportunity and something in her life that she had never been able to do before. And she said, because of you guys and your church, I was able to do this, which I would never have been, and to hear the Bible taught in a way that I never realized it could be taught. So thank you guys so much. You know, it was a great experience for us, and I'd love to say right now I'm looking forward to the next trip, but right now I don't want to go anywhere. Although now we got, our daughter is going to have her baby probably in the next day or so, so we're probably going to be shooting down to California here pretty quick. But anyway, what a blessing this church is. I can't stress that enough, what that means. And we are so grateful to be a part of this. And it wasn't within probably about a week of being there and the food and the changes and everything that Marie looked at each other in the eye, and we held hands and we started clicking our heels together and saying, huh? What's that? Yeah, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And then we opened our eyes and we were still in our room with our little fish on the wall. So we love you guys and we thank you. You know what? As we go to prayer now, we're going to celebrate the communion table as these guys come up to sing again. When you think about what God has done, that's what this is about. This isn't about a trip. It certainly wasn't a vacation. We worked every day from 7 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. We had 2 days off, the entire 3 weeks that we were there, the two that we got to ride the elephants and learn how to cook. But what makes that possible is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what is the value here. And that there were people, in particular in that red square on that map, that don't know this. They've never even heard his name. And they need him desperately, every bit as much as you and I did. And that's why we do these things. So as we come together to celebrate communion this morning, and we eat the bread and we drink the juice and we remember the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, you see, it's that we must share. That's what the Great Commission is about. Go ye therefore, you know, into all of the nations, and we know the rest of the verse. That's the reason. It's what we celebrate here. So as you come to the Lord's table, as these guys pray, you search your heart, and you thank God for what God has done on your behalf, but not just on your behalf, on the behalf of every person who ever has drawn breath on this earth. And as you come forward and you partake of the bread, you remember that that bread signifies the fact that he took your place on that cross. It was our sin that should have put us on that cross, and he said, that's okay, I'll handle it. That's what the bread means. And that as we drink the juice, that we remember that it's his blood, the purity of his blood, that washes us clean. It covers the sin so that when God looks at you and me, he no longer sees us, but he sees Christ, the atonement work of Christ. That's what communion is about. So as they sing, search your heart, pray. Open it up to God, and then when you're ready, as you know our custom is here, you see we've got the three tables, just come forward, get the elements, return to your seat, partake of them, and just be grateful to God. We love you guys and are so, so grateful to be back because of what God has done for us by bringing us here. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for all the things that you do, and as we come to the communion table, Lord, it is our desire to focus on who you are, and what your life, your death, your resurrection, in other words, Lord, the gospel, what that means to us. Lord, it's a precious thing to us, but it's a precious thing that we also share with others. And may we ever be mindful of those who are out there still in darkness, who still have no concept of truth and don't have these things. Lord, this is the reason you have called us to be your legs. You have called us to be your arms. You have called us to be your voice. May we be faithful to the task, Lord. Now go with us as we go our ways. In Jesus' name, amen. And don't forget, when we finish